William Hill's Rugby Union podcast with Jeff Probyn. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Rugby Union podcast. We're going to look ahead to this weekend's international matches. The Autumn Internationals continue on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined on the line by former England international Jeff Probyn. How are you, Jeff?
Oh, very well, Mark. I'm looking forward to a good weekend of rugby, even though England are not playing.
Yes, unfortunately no England match this week, which is disappointing for us in England, but some great games to look forward to anyway, isn't there? We've got the other home nations in action in the likes of Wales, Scotland and Ireland. We've also got South Africa against France, which is likely to be a big hitting game, so plenty to look forward to still, isn't there, Jeff?
A lot of physicality, especially in France, I reckon, and well, also in Wales, with Tonga facing Wales on Friday night. So that's going to be a bit of a game.
Yeah. As the Autumn Internationals have gone on, Jeff, we've seen a few expected results, I suppose. Have we learned anything from this autumn, do you think?
I think we've from an England point of view, I think that there's been some positives in terms of our pack, but we're still in a bit of a mess in the backs for England. We play very, how can I put it? We're not playing with a consistent form that says that we actually have the right backs on the field. We're getting some great individual performances. People like Mike Brown, who showed really what a great player he is, and has taken these Autumn Internationals by storm as an Englishman. We've seen the likes of Billy Twelvetree. He's actually saved his best game to the last game, but whether that'll be enough to actually keep him in the England setup, it's hard to judge. We've seen the combination between him and Tonkin not working, and despite the fact that Tonkin is a very, very good ex-rugby league player, he still hasn't quite grasped the differentials between the two games. It's a big ask to ask the player to come from being an international representative in the sport like rugby league and in the space of a year being the England team in rugby union. The games are so different now and it takes a little while. Tonkin may well be a centre for England come the World Cup, but that's in 2 years' time. So there's still a lot of work. England's still a working process. I think for both, if we're honest, for both Wales and Scotland, they suffered so many big hits playing against the South Africans and so many injuries that it's a bit hard to judge where they are. And, you know, Wales have got a big game up this Friday against Tonga, which is going to be another big hitting game for them. They can't afford any more injuries, particularly as they've got a game next week, a final game next week against Australia, which is a game that they will feel that they have a good chance of winning if they can keep 15 players on the field.
Yeah, and let's move on to the Wales game then. That's on Friday evening. Wales play Tonga. We haven't got the matches priced up on the site just yet, so we'll go with a little bit of a prediction of what we think will happen. Wales are likely to be heavily odds on for this, and a handicap spread of probably around 24. Wales minus 24, Tonga plus 24. That'll be 10 to 11 each of those two, and 16 to 1 for the handicap tie. Either way, Wales are going to be favourites here, but they've made 11 changes for this, Jeff, from the side that beat Argentina. And former Wales wing JJ Williams has questioned the value of the match. So what do you think the attitude is towards this match for Wales?
Well, I think the reality is from Gatland's point of view, he's going to see this as a chance to get strength and depth in his squad. They've still got some star players. They've still got Lialf Penny, George North playing. They've brought in some new forwards, but they've had to because of the injuries to Adam Jones. Paul James has come in from Bath. We've seen they've rested Sam Warburton, obviously because of they want him fit for the Australian game. But they've still got Justin Tuprick and they've still got Ryan Jones. So this is very much a case of seeing what Wales' second string are, if you know. Not so much second string in terms of a B team, but in terms of the squad, to make sure they've got a strong squad. They've caused a bit more spice by Sean Edwards having a little go at the Tongans, saying that the Wales will need the referee to protect them, and that's upset the Tongan captain Nili Latu, the hooker for them, who says that that's unfair. Tonga are a good side, but the last time they went to Millennium Stadium, they lost by 50 points. So it doesn't all go well for them, despite the changes by the Welsh team. This is still a very strong Welsh team, and I'm expecting Wales to win by 20 to 30 points.
Okay, Wales to win by 20 to 30 points. And yeah, as you mentioned, Sean Edwards has upset the Tonga captain there. But they are a physical side, aren't the Tonga? And we saw Sona Tamalolo get sent off against France for fighting. Moa was also Timbin in that game as well. They do pack a punch, don't they, the Tongans?
Well, they do. They're like all the island sides. You know, they're very physical. They're muscular men. They're very powerful. The main problem they lack in when it comes to these 15 side games is the discipline, as you see by these players getting sent off the Simbin, to play a controlled physical game. It's normally about one man being physical, carrying the ball well, powerful, and getting involved, driving off the edges of rucks, which can actually get them isolated and if you play a structured game against most island teams, well, that's in Fiji and Samoa as well, you can beat them, as Ireland showed against Samoa in their first game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the Seagulls, the only Pacific side not to have beaten Wales yet as well, which is interesting. The history is on Wales' side. And just to confirm then, Jeff, you expect Wales to probably beat the handicap and win quite comfortably in the end?
Well, I do, because there are so many people in this Welsh side who've got a point to prove. James Hook coming in at fly half, his first start at fly half for Wales for something like 4 years. So, it's a big chance for him to stamp his authority and say to Warren Gatlin, look, I know I'm over in France now, I know I'm playing for Perpignan, but I'm still here. And one of the aspects of me playing rugby in France is it's improved my rugby game, my fly half game. So if you're looking for a fly half, come the Six Nations, come the World Cup, I'm the guy you should be looking at, rather than Priestlands, rather than the other guys who are in and around that Welsh scene. And so it's a big game for James Hook in particular. As I say, for people like Ryan Jones in the back row with Justin Tuprick, it's guys like that who are looking for this as an opportunity to say, I should be picked in the side. You know, I should be the number 7 for Wales. Move Warburton to the number 6 side. You know, let Warburton and Lydgate fight it out rather than for that 7 position, because that's my position. And it's so many guys in that Welsh side who are in that position that if facing a Tongan side that will be physical, will be strong, will be fit, will carry the ball, will take advantage if you give them half a yard, but it's a great opportunity for that Welsh side to actually dominate this game and show a little bit more of what they can do.
Okay, let's move on to Saturday's action then. We'll start up at Murrayfield. Scotland play Australia. Scotland are likely to be around the 7-2 mark, something like that. Australia I expect to be about 1-5, something like that. And we might see a handicap of around 11 in favour of Scotland. Scotland, I've got Captain Kelly Brown back. He returns for the final match after missing the game against South Africa, who is rested in that. He'll be joined by Johnny Beattie and David Denton in the back row. Lock Tim Swinson has recovered from an injury and he will partner Jim Hamilton in the place of Richie Gray. Tommy Seymour, though, however, is a fitness doubt. Australia causing their own problems as well. They've banned 6 of their own players for drinking, so we like to see change sides here, Jeff. Are Australia still going to be too strong?
I think that it's an interesting game, actually. This is a game that could go either way. I say that because Australia, despite the fact that they've forcibly banned 6 players, have kept the same pack that played last week against Ireland. And so, you know, they're obviously, Ewan McKenzie is quite confident in the way that his pack performed against an Irish side. And the way they were offloading ball and playing that game was a game that the McKenzie has wanted to see Australia play. If Scotland allow Australia the chance and the space to play that fast-moving game, even though they've dropped 6 players, they've still got very, very skillful backs, Christian Leofano, Israel Folau, guys like that who can run and are great runners with the ball in their hands. If Scotland give them the space, then they'll lose. But if Scotland can play a very tight game, and we saw, even though they lost fairly heavily last week, 28-0, we did see them carry the ball well occasionally and get into the South African half and play with a physicality that wasn't expected of them. So if they can raise their game to that level, it will be a close game. I think Australia may just still be too strong for Scotland, but I think it'll be very close. I think it could be within 7 to 10 points.
All right, OK, so a closer game then. I suppose Scotland's problem against South Africa was that they just couldn't get a foothold in the game to start with. They were better in the second half, as you've mentioned, but it was 35 minutes before they crossed the Springboks 22-metre line. They had a lot of possession in the second half, and they did camp in the South African half for quite a long period of that. But was that just South Africa taking the foot off the pedal? Do you think they'll be encouraged by that coming into this?
I think, to be honest, I don't think South Africa took their foot off the pedal. One of the aspects about South Africa is that Meyer, the South African coach, he's got the mentality in South Africa very similar to the All Blacks, that when you go on the field, you play for your 80 minutes. That doesn't mean that you won't have off periods where you don't dominate the opposition, but it does mean that you keep going. And I think South Africa kept going. I think that Scotland raised their game and actually performed quite well. There was some good play by these guys. Sean Maitland carried the ball well. We saw a physicality in the Scottish side. Although, you know, Scotland do have a problem. They don't have the player base that the rest of the nations have. So for them, it's important to use that Scottish spirit, shall we say, to drive their game forward. And I think David Benton, not the most skillful of players, but he's a physical guy. He gets involved. And if he can do that against the Australians, he could possibly draw some players in and give a bit of space, a bit more space to the likes of Greg Laidlaw and guys like that. And you could see potential for Scotland to score a couple of tries.
Okay, and as you mentioned there, Jeff, you expect it to be around a 10-point margin. We will have betting on site for 5 to 10 points, the difference, Australia to win by 5 to 10 points or 1 to 10 points. So have a look for those markets. But either way, Jeff thinks it will be a pretty close game. On to France against South Africa next. It's promising to be a very physical game, this, isn't it? It's going to be a big hitting game. France probably going to be around the 2-1 mark. South Africa will be odds on somewhere near 4-11, something like that. If you get a handicap of around 7 points in the favour of France, how would you see this panning out, Jeff?
Well, I think that's if you got a handicap of 7 points to France, I think that'd be money well spent, because I think that France could actually win this game. If you look at the game that they played against South Africa, against New Zealand a couple of weeks ago, that was very, very, very close. And France had the ability to win that game. They matched and certainly outplayed the All Blacks up front. And this is the area of confrontation that will take place in this game. It will be very much a physical game up front. And, you know, the one thing about France, what they've done is they've brought in some new young players. They've still got the experience of the Nicolas Mass and guys like that. They've got Terry Disatoire in their forwards. They've got a lot of strength in their forwards and a lot of power. They played a very much forward-dominated game against the All Blacks. I expect them to still use that forward dominance, but then bring the likes of Wesley Fofana into the side, Florent Fritz, who are playing well together as a combination. I can actually see that this new guy, Towers, who's playing fly half for the French, seems to have made the French backline function as well as I've seen it function literally within the last 10 years. He's done some very good stuff with his side, and I think that Philippe Saint-André has found a real marker in this man, and there's a good possibility that France could actually sneak this game.
Okay, France to sneak this game. I mean, that adds to their game, doesn't it? We know they're good in scrums. They always have been. They give away fewer penalties than anybody else, and they concede very little from that, and it was always going to be tight in the scrum as well. Peter de Villiers has highlighted that. So if they can add to the other side of the game, then France are going to be dangerous here then.
I think so. I think they will. And, you know, if you look at their back line, they've got some great players here. Wesley Fofana has been the outstanding Northern Hemisphere centre for the last 2 years, including Jamie Roberts from Wales. You know, he's an outstanding young talent who's playing well. With Florent Fritz, he's got a man who's got experience, who's physical, and so there's a lot of guy, there's a lot of midfield talent there. And I'd say this young player, Remy Talis, who's come in at fly half, he's a proper fly half. What can I say? This is the first time for years that the French have picked a proper fly half rather than playing a scrum half as fly half. They've got Morgan Parra there at scrum half, who's a very, very experienced player. His experience helps Talis, and Talis has helped the outside backs play well. So, I'm expecting a few fireworks from France. They would have thought that, and they could have beat the All Blacks. They literally took the All Blacks to the wire and were pressing at the dying stages of the game. If they'd scored, they would have won the game. I think that they may just have a little bit too much for South Africa. It's going to be a very, very close game. Mm. And as I say, if the handicap is by 7 points, I'd take that.
Yeah, history's on the side of France as well. South Africa haven't won in France since 1997 when they won at the Parc des Princes. So yeah, should be good. And if you can get somewhere around the 2-1 mark or France on the handicap, then side with Jeff on that one. On to the final match on Saturday that we haven't looked at. We'll be brief on this one, Jeff, because it's probably going to be tight. It's going to be a pick'em. It's Argentina against Italy in Italy. It's probably going to be fairly close, isn't it?
I think it will be. I think the Argentinians, though, haven't really played this autumn. They've turned up. It's as if they don't really want to play. They don't really want to be here. And I think a lot of their players, that's true. They're interested in World Cups. They're interested in the championship now. It's a chance to establish themselves. The autumn internationals for Argentina are a bit of a pain, because a lot of their players play in the European leagues. They're over in France, they're over in England, they're playing these games. It's a lot, they're away from their clubs. They'd rather be in their clubs at this time of year. For the Italians, this is a great chance. They had a good win last week against Tonga, I think it was, and they'll be looking forward to this game as a game to cement where they are in world rugby. Argentina are playing in the championship. Italy new into the Six Nations, well, a few years old now. But it's the two underdogs, should we say, in their own competitions that are trying to establish themselves. I think Italy will be just a bit too good at home for Argentina. If we were playing in Argentina, I'd be going the other way.
Okay, home advantage then to play into Italy's favour there. And the final game we're going to look at takes place on Sunday. A real cracker to look forward to as well. Ireland take on the All Blacks. Ireland going to be something like 10-1. New Zealand will see heavily odds on, 1-33, something like that. Maybe get a handicap of 20 in favour of Ireland. And every stat that I've found, Jeff, coming to this, leads me towards New Zealand. They're bidding for a 14th straight victory. If they win this, they will have a 100% record in 2013. And Ireland have never beaten the All Blacks. Is it going to be more of the same in this, Jeff?
I think it will be, unfortunately. I think the game against Australia last Saturday highlight a lot of weaknesses in the defensive areas of the Irish, which would not have been missed by the New Zealand side. New Zealand have a few problems. I mean, obviously, they've lost Dan Carter. He's not going to be involved in this game. They've lost Tony Woodcock there, very experienced, Lee said. But, you know, Aaron Craven is not that bad a player. He came on in the second half against England and produced a performance. He's played well for New Zealand, and New Zealand know they're going to be without Carter for at least 6 or 7 months, because he's talking about taking a break before going into the World Cup to make sure he's 100% fit. So this is a New Zealand side that has stuttered a little bit on this tour. We've seen them stutter against France. We saw them stutter against England yesterday, last Saturday. But I think against Ireland, they're still learning. I think Joe Smith has changed the way that Ireland are playing. They played some exciting rugby against Samoa. They didn't really get out of the blocks against Australia, and that was a bit of a surprise. They've also got a few injuries. McFadden's not going to be playing for them. But then you've got the possibility that I think they should play Dave Keeney. Whether they will play Dave Keeney or whether they play Luke Fitzgerald, go for the experience of Luke Fitzgerald. He's still up in the air a bit. But Dave Keeney showed when he played against Samoa, he scored two good tries. They've got Rob Kearney, his brother, playing at fullback for them. So as far as the Irish are concerned, if they can, they will know they've got to pick their game up. But one of the aspects about playing against New Zealand is when you play against New Zealand, you do pick your game up, just as England did. We looked at the first two games that England played in this autumn series, and they were dull. England only played for literally one half in each game. The second half against Australia, the first half against Argentina. The last game against New Zealand, they played a full 80 minutes, and that's because of the threat that New Zealand are. If you don't play for the 80 minutes, they will bury you. Ireland will know that. Joel Schmidt will be knocking that into these players this week. The experienced players like Brian O'Driscoll will be telling the rest of the squad. And you can expect the Irish to put their best foot forward. Whether that'll be enough, sadly, I don't think it will be. I think that Ireland will perform better than they did last week, but I can still see New Zealand winning this game, finishing their season unbeaten, and probably winning this game by between 10 and 15 points.
Okay, between 10 and 15 then, the margin of New Zealand victory. Yeah, you mentioned there Brian O'Driscoll will have probably been drilling it into the team. He's called for improvement. He says although will endure another humiliation against New Zealand as they did against South Africa. But yeah, with the injuries and everything else, it's a massive task for Ireland to win this though, isn't it?
It is, it is. And, you know, we still don't know whether O'Driscoll's going to be fit. They're giving him as long as possible. He's got a bit of a calf problem. But, if you know that Brian O'Driscoll, if he can, will be on that field because this is his last chance to play against the All Blacks. And it's a game that he will want to play in. So, I can see him making that extra effort. The reality is that this is an Irish team that's still in change, it's still in flux. Joe Smith just took over the coaching role this year, and Joe Smith he's been coaching Leinster. Yes, everyone knows that he's coached Leinster, and Leinster have been the most successful of the Irish sides in Europe and in the Pro 12 over the past few years. He's brought a new style to the way the Irish play, and the Irish have got to get that style under their belt. And really, that's what these Autumn Internationals are about. But it will take. But they will play with a lot of Irish pride. They'll be there for the crack, shall we say? And they'll go out there and they'll challenge New Zealand. And I expect New Zealand to have a game. I don't expect them to have it all their own way. But this New Zealand side are a bit special, and I think that even with their two slight wobbles the last few weeks, they'll want to finish the season on a high.
Yeah, should be good. Just before you go then, Jeff, if I were to ask you for your best bet this weekend in the Rugby Union Internationals, who would you go with?
No, I'd go Wales beating Tonga.
Okay, Wales against Tonga, then that's the first of them on Friday evening. Should be a good weekend. Pleasure to speak to you again, Jeff. Thank you very much, and enjoy this weekend's action.
Enjoy the rugby.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.